case for argument is ABM Marketing versus Vinesse. Mr. Ducey, is he there? Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Ducey, are you there?
Yes.
Barely. Can you hear? Slightly. No. Where are you talking from?
Is the volume up on the phone?
Well, speak as loudly as you can. Yes. I can't hear you.
I am not going to be able to hear
that. Why don't you come closer?
Right.
Huddle around.
Right. Where is it? Where is the sound coming from?
If you want to move your chair, you can.
I wonder what you were looking at.
You don't have to stand.
Hang on the ceiling.
You can move your chair up. If you want to sit down, you can move your chair up. So you right. I understand.
Right. All right. Well, go ahead, Mr. Ducey.
Thank you.
expenses for that, selling grain, three purchase expense. The first one, Dave, is that $23 in the future, selling to say, well, for not selling. Second, a purchase agreement, well, $23 is a distributor agreement from selling to send to heavy train. And third, those are $23 is a distributor agreement when it fails to provide any type of confidence.
Well, how does all this bear on the question whether these verdicts were inconsistent, whether the initial verdict was inconsistent? Are you going to address that question?
Okay, the initial verdict was inconsistent, Your Honor, but the initial verdict was that consistent, but the jury's initial verdict returned a verdict of all three counts in favor of ADM. What happened in the first case was the court said, asked the jury to determine whether or not the plaintiff, which was then without accounting, was actually where the plaintiff ADM provided accounting. Otherwise, the defendant that they did not do. So in the first case, we had three verdicts in favor of the plaintiff. Finally, by the jury, there was no breach of contract. The jury even said that the plaintiff was maybe a head provider of accounting for all these defendants. That verdict in and of was not inconsistent. The court in that case concluded their judgment on three counts and then conducted an accounting action should it choose to do so. In this case, they let the jury make the legal decision as to whether the accounting action should take place. That was really a matter for the court to decide, but the judge allowed the jury to make that decision. But as soon as the court allows that to happen, and that an accounting does take place, that accounting would not be inconsistent with the findings of the jury on any of the three counts that they are verdict on. So the court abused the discretion when it ordered a new trial on the basis of this inconsistent verdict. There was no inconsistent verdict at all. In fact, the court made no finding at all as to whether one account was appropriate or two, whether any money was in fact. And so that was never done. The court was concerned that these verdicts are inconsistent in the first case. Therefore, we're going to order a new trial, take the jury's verdict away. So there was no inconsistency. The court didn't move forward to show any inconsistency at all. And even if there was money, there was no inconsistency in the verdict at all. So we commit the court here when it, in fact, took away the jury's verdict and ordered a new trial. Now, the inconsistency in the second case becomes even more problem because the court said special verdict for.
I don't understand your first case and second case. Didn't the jury find in favor of Zanasi Fratelli on its counterclaim?
In the first case, the jury found only that the plaintiff was provided an accounting of the royalty defense, paying the amount to the defense. That's quoting from the verdict form that they found in favor of the non-accounting on count one.
But doesn't that imply the jury thought that you owed Zanasi Fratelli royalties?
Well, that doesn't imply anything because the agreement of the parties was that there would be an offset upfront before any money was owed. So the jury did not make a finding that any money was owed. We didn't know. And if you look at what Judge Kirby did, he made a finding on a loan, a $16,000 loan by ATM to Zanasi Fratelli, which was less than what Zanasi Fratelli owed ATM. Therefore, there was no money owed by ATM, even according to judgment calculation in the case. So, in the first case, the jury made no determination at all as to any amount of money that was owed, because they weren't presented with that and were asked to do that. But even if we say that there was money owed. We still don't know how much money is owed and whether or not the money owed by ADM exceeded the amount of money that would not be owed yet. So we don't know that from the certification because of the sole finance.
Okay, well, you're on your rebuttal time, so you want to say the rest of your time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we'll hear from Mr. Snelling then.
May it please the court, my name is Ron Snelling. I'm an attorney from Banner, Wyoming. I represent Zanazzi Fratelli, which is an Italian corporation, and also Marcode, which was a Minnesota corporation. I lost most of the hearing in my right ear in the Army, and I had some difficulty hearing what the argument was, so I would certainly entertain the court's questions. What I did hear was a claim that this $23,000 that was awarded to Mr. Ducey's client, ABM, should have somehow been offset against these royalty payments. That argument is fallacious for several reasons. This agreement began in 1993. The obligation of ABM to compute and to pay Inc. royalties commenced in 1993. The Inc. they're talking about, if you look at a statement of facts from Mr. Ducey, is in 1997. And then there was a dispute as to whether out of two shipments of Inc., one of them had been paid for. The jury ultimately determined that one of them had not been paid for. But that was at 4 years after these Inc. royalties were supposed to have been computed and paid. And the fact that they were not computed or paid is attested to by the appendix of Mr. Ducey's client, wherein after the first trial, they sent letters to their distributors and their customers attempting to come up with an Inc. royalty number because the jury had said that these Inc. royalties were owed in an amount that had to be deduced by an accounting by the court. And this is, although their appendix is not page numbered, this is under tab 9 of their appendix, which was the accounting they submitted to Judge David Herndon. And if you look at the letters they sent to their customers, they say right in the letter, we have no way of separating the inks that were used in Zanazzi printers from inks used in other machines other than asking you directly. So what they're saying essentially is, we can't compute the ink royalties without having that information provided. We don't have that information, now after trial we're asking you for that information. So the claim that somehow that this ink that was argued about in 1997 forgave their obligation to compute or pay ink royalties in 1993, 1994, 1995, and 1996 is simply fallacious, untrue, and incorrect. As Mr. Ducey himself states in his brief beginning at page 12 and going on to page 13, and he has just reiterated in the portion of the argument that I did here, there were only four elements to this contract. That's what they set out in their brief. Four elements, and one of them was compute and pay ink royalties, which they, as I've just shown the court, admittedly never did. And so the counterclaim, which Mr. Ducey, I believe, thinks is just for an accounting, that the counterclaim is for an accounting. Well, it's not. Take a look at tab 4 of his appendix, which is the actual verdict form that the jury in the first trial answered. And what does it say? As to count... I got the wrong one marked. What it says is, as to the counterclaim of my client, Zanazzi, for breach of contract, we, the jury, find that in favor of Zanazzi, and we order an accounting. Why did they order an accounting? Because no one knew what the amount of the ink royalties were, because the party charged with computing, tracking them, admittedly, as they admit in their own documents, never did it. So to say that the verdicts were not inconclusive, because this really isn't a breach of contract claim that Zanazzi was asserting, Zanazzi certainly was asserting a breach of contract based on the failure to compute or pay the ink royalties, which they admittedly didn't do. Unless there's some questions, I thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Snelly. Mr. Ducey, how much time do you have? 1 minute left. Okay, thank you, Mr. Ducey. Your time has expired, and the case will be taken under advisement, and court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.